Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spartan Life Radio, brought to you by Norfolk State University, home of the mighty Spartans. Spartan Life Radio was created with you in mind. It's your source for news and information about NSU matters, including students, faculty, staff, administrators, alumni, and the communities we serve.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio, or Spartan Life Radio on Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live from Norfolk State University. About 80% of U.S. adults experience low back pain at some point during their lives. Back pain is the most common job-related disability and is a leading contributor to missed work days. Men and women are equally affected by low back pain. If you roll out of bed in the morning and your back, knees, or hips are in pain, have we got the show for you. I'm Sharon Hoggart, your host for this segment of Spartan Life Radio. Joining us today is Dr. Winifred Bragg, the Medical Director of the Spine and Orthopedic Pain Center in Norfolk. She is also the foremost expert in pain management. Dr. Bragg has been helping patients with chronic joint pain for more than 20 years. Dr. Bragg, welcome to Spartan Life Radio on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me, Sharon. It's nice to talk with you.
All right. Now, listeners, if you've got a question about today's topic, you can call us at 1-347-850-8515. That number again, 1-347-850-8515. Just follow the prompts if you want to speak to our guest. All right. As we mentioned at the top of the show, back pain is no joke. Today's guest has written a book titled Secrets to Maintain a Healthy Back. The book helps people understand the symptoms and causes of low back pain and offers strategies for keeping the pain at bay. So if you've got a question, again, you can call us at area code 347-850-8515. Dr. Brad, we're going to just jump right on in here. As I mentioned at the show's opening, research shows that approximately 80% of adults experience low back pain. That's a lot of people suffering. Any idea why the percentage of low back pain sufferers is so high?
Well, because there's so many things that can cause back pain. You know, you can lift things wrong. That can lead to back pain. You can do repetitive things, just continuously bending and twisting. Carrying heavy purses, like I saw a lady in the office yesterday with an 8-pound purse, just carrying that around. If you go to the store, Sharon, the average watermelon is about 4.5 pounds. So why do women carry 8- and 9-pound purses? And I tell them, but they continue to carry those heavy purses. So things like that, prolonged sitting can cause back pain. So that's why
your question. We need all that stuff. We need all that stuff in our bags.
You need all that stuff. Well, I tell you, I have a video that I'm going to be putting out on my Facebook, Spine and Orthopedic Pain Facebook page next week, because that lady came in with an 8-pound purse, and guess what? As fate would have it, later that day, a lady came in with the perfect 2.1-pound purse, and she said she had everything she needed in the purse. Now, it was busting at the seams, but it was 2.1 pounds. So we're going to show you that purse and just let you see. Do you really need 2 hairbrushes? Do you really need 4 combs? Or when you're going out, can 1 comb and 1 brush really do it? Do you need to have every tube of lipstick in your purse?
I know that's right. Dr.
That's
Bragg,
right.
Tell our audience more about your book. Tell us more about your book, Secrets to Maintain a Healthy Back. How can the book help our patients or anybody out there suffer from back pain?
Well, I wrote the book because when you think about back pain, the first thing people think about, let me go and have surgery. This is killing me. I want to have surgery. When we know statistically that only 5%, Sharon, of people who have back pain really need surgery. So I wrote the book because I want people to make sure that they understand the viable non-surgical strategies that they can use to treat their back. The book is going to answer some fundamental questions. You know, a lot of times people have back pain and they go to physical therapy. So why go to physical therapy? It's going to tell you about those things. It's going to tell you some exercises that you can do even at work to reduce back pain and when you absolutely need surgery. So those are some of the questions you're going to get in the book. It's going to give you exercises that you can do at home to increase your core. Your core muscles are your stomach and your back muscles. We want to keep those as strong as possible so that we can prevent back pain. And so those, that's a good strategy to prevent back pain. The best thing for back pain is to prevent it. Surgery does not, statistics will tell you that surgery does not necessarily get rid of your pain. There are times when you have to have surgery, but you're still going to have to come back to these fundamental things, Sharon, of is my core strong? Am I lifting correctly? Am I doing repetitive bending? Am I raking my yard right? Am I sitting too long? Am I standing too long? These are the core things that must carry us through. And yet, if you think about it, your grandmother told you, Sharon, why are you slumped around in that chair? Grandmother was indeed a spine specialist.
And you've already answered that third question. I was going to ask you what some of the strategies you discuss in the book to effectively manage or treat back pain. You already answered that by telling us we need to have a strong core. Well, you say, say your core is not all that great. How do you go about building a strong core?
Well, you can do partial sit-ups, not full sit-ups, but partial sit-ups will help you to do that. Doing aerobic exercises and cardiac exercise to get rid of the excess weight helps you. And then there are spinal stabilization exercises that a therapist can teach you to how to do build a strong core. You know, you can get on all fours, tighten your stomach, and raise your right arm and your right leg and your left leg, and then do the opposite arm and leg. And this will keep your back rigid, and you can repeat this 10 times per set, and that helps. So, again, you get on all fours, tighten the stomach, raise your right and left leg, and do the opposite arm. So that's what you want to do. You want to do the opposite arm and leg, and that helps you to do it. You can get one of those flexing balls, stability balls, that you see at Dick's Sporting Goods or in a sporting good place, and sit on that and watch television, and that's going to help you to increase your core.
Okay. Well, okay, now we understand that we need a strong core. What else does having a regular exercise routine do to help back pain?
Well, as you know, when you exercise, you're going to increase blood flow to that area. So you're going to get rid of the toxins and increase blood flow to that area and make sure it gets good nutrients there. But the other thing, you're going to need to do your flexibility exercises. We always want to lift with our legs and not use your back. And so by doing exercises, you want to, in the morning, I recommend that people get up in the morning and do 20 or 30 minutes of stretches. Stretch your back, stretch your hamstrings, stretch your quad muscles. So hamstrings, say, we all remember those from the fifth grade when we were in PE. You sit on the floor, legs kind of spread apart, and you lean down to touch your toes. The older you get, the further that seems to be for your fingertips to touch your toes because it gets tight. But yet you should be able to do that. So you can put your leg in a chair and sitting, reach down to try to reach the toe. And those muscles in the back of your thigh, those are your hamstrings. We want those as flexible as we can get them. Because when they are tight, then you're going to be using more your back muscles and not your leg muscles when you're lifting. Quad muscles are those the muscles in front of your thigh. If you put your hand on the front of your thigh, that's your quadricep muscles. We want those flexible as well. How you know they are tight, Sharon, if you stand up right now, grab your hand around your ankle and attempt to put your heel to your butt. Look at that distance. You really should be able to touch your heel to your butt, and then that's when you know your quads are flexible. As long as your heel doesn't touch that butt, that means you have work to do. And when your quads and your hamstrings are tight, you can't use your legs as much as you need to do with your lifting, and it puts more pressure on your back. So that's why exercise helps. It's going to help us to increase the blood flow to those areas, and that's going to help you prevent the injury. And then we want to do the flexibility exercises and then progress to the strengthening exercises.
Okay. Let's say you have a patient that comes in and has really severe back pain, and you find that you can treat this patient with medication and physical therapy. What are some of the specific benefits of physical therapy when it comes to treating chronic joint pain?
Well, sometimes, you know, it depends on your motivation and accountability. People ask me all the time, well, why can't I do these exercises at home? Once the exercise therapist shows you the exercises, the therapy program is designed so that you can do it lifelong at home. But how often do we all have a sheet or a book of exercises that remains on the kitchen table, remains on the refrigerator or by the nightstand, and we don't do them? So some of the specific benefits of exercises for the physical therapy is that, first of all, you got to realize that the exercises you do for your back pain can be different than what somebody else will have to do, because your exercises should be specific to your diagnosis. Now, doing the hamstrings and quad stretches that I just mentioned, everybody could benefit from that. But the specific exercises for your back, whether you should do more things kind of flexed or extended, depends on what your diagnosis is. And the therapist is going to help you to identify what's the best position for you to do those exercises in. They're going to teach you about proper body mechanics, how you should lift, what your sitting posture should do, how you should stand, those type of things. And they're going to tell you exercises on increasing your flexibility and strengthening your back and muscles. And then as we improve our weight, your back should get better too. That doesn't mean that all overweight people have back pain, but as your weight is increased, that is a risk factor for having back pain. And sometimes, depending upon what's wrong with your back, Sharon, you may need some manual techniques. That's where the therapist actually puts hands on you to put some of your small joints in alignment, because sometimes joints can come out of alignment, especially in the lower back and in what we call the sacroiliac region. That's where the back kind of joins the hip. And there's a joint there called the SI joint, sacroiliac joint. Sometimes if you lift wrong or had an injury, that joint can come out of alignment, and it could cause pain in the lower back or buttocks area. And a good manual therapist can help you to show you how to put that back in alignment. And so those are kind of the five things that therapists can do: teach your body mechanics, teach you about your posture, help you get your exercise program down both for your strengthening and flexibility, tell you things you can do to improve your weight control, and then give you some manual techniques.
All right, listeners, if you'd like to join the conversation, you've got a question for our guests, you can call us at 1-347-850-8515. Just press 1 on your telephone keypad if you want to talk to our guests. All right. Okay, so we find out we do have really bad back pain, other joint pain. But say you have bad knees, are there any exercises that we can do, like at work, to reduce this pain?
Yeah, there are some exercises that you can do at work to help you with them. Say, for instance, with your back or your knees, which one are you talking about?
Back.
Okay. With your back, one of the key things you want to do is take a postural break after you've been sitting 1 to 2 hours. And that's why people think that back pain is just a blue-collar person's disease. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's equally found in white-collar workers, because you can sit at that desk all day, Sharon, and at the end of the day, your back will hurt because you put a lot of stress on your muscles and your spine. And so after you've been sitting an hour or two, you need to get up and stretch your back. So you may just put a timer on at your desk, or put it on your watch, or on your telephone. There's so many things you can use in today's world. And then say, hey, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk to the bathroom. I'm going to walk to the break room, get a glass of water, so that you don't do continuous sitting. So that would be a good thing, because your muscles need a break. As you continue to do that, just sitting there, you're increasing the pressure on your muscles and increases the risk of back pain and sitting on those discs all day. Another thing, you may get a lumbar roll, and that goes in the small part of your back. If you take your hand and pull it down toward, like you're going toward the buttocks area, you may feel where there's a little slope right there at the panty line. You know where I'm talking about? Right in that area, you would benefit at work by having a lumbar roll in your chair. You can get those at Target, Walmart, Dick's Sporting Goods, any of those places like that, and put that in that chair, and that's going to give you good lumbar support, and that's going to push you toward sitting the right way. If you don't use one of those, you could just roll up a bath towel and put it in the middle of your back right in that area and see. Now, one thing, Sharon, is when we live, just in everyday living, we are always doing something in flexion. This morning, when you brushed your teeth, you had to lean over the sink, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So when you leaned over the sink, you were flexed. Flexing is bending forward. When you put on your pantyhose or your socks or your stockings, whatever you did, you had to lean forward. When you put on your shoes, you had to lean forward. When they put on your pants, you had to lean forward. So leaning forward is what we call a flexion maneuver. What we want to do is give the back some counterforce and have some extension done sometimes. So this is why I say when you get up in the morning, you want to put your hands on your hip and lean backwards. Look toward the sky. Put your hands on the hip and go backwards 10 times. I recommend you could do that if you could at work 10 times an hour. When you take that stroll to the bathroom stall, nobody knows what you're doing in there. Put your hands on your hip and lean backwards. And that'll give you a little counterforce. And do, you know, a set of 10 of those a couple of times throughout the day. And that's going to help you. And these are simple things that you can do at work. I tell people they can get a pedometer or they can get a Fitbit and focus on getting that 10,000 steps per day, because that's going to keep your weight in control, keep you walking, and these are good things to help with back pain as well.
Okay. When does surgery become the only option to relieve back pain or other joint pain? When do y'all decide that, you and the patient?
Well, first of all, I think that all people should first seek, if they can, a non-surgical remedy, because surgery doesn't necessarily is not a cure-all for back pain. As I said at the beginning, even after people have surgery, I can't tell you how many I see after surgery who still have to come back to me to manage their pain, even though they've had surgery. So there are some absolute indications for back surgery. One is when you have progressive neurologic loss. Say your leg is weak and you can't bring your toe toward your nose. That means you probably have a foot drop. You're dragging the foot. Mm-hmm. And you may say, oh, I have to have surgery. You may be able to go to physical therapy, and we can strengthen that foot. I've had patients where we were able to strengthen it, and they didn't have to have surgery. But say if that foot is weak today, and you notice next week is weaker, if you're getting progressively weaker, then that's an indication for surgery. If you have loss of control of your bowel or bladder, not constipation, not getting up in the night using the bathroom because the bladder has gotten older and you need to go to the bathroom, that's not it. When you have loss of control, meaning that you're urinating on yourself or you're having bowel movements, that's a surgical emergency. You have to run to the ER for that to be decompressed, but that is very rare. We call that Cotta Iguana syndrome, but that's very rare, but that's a surgical emergency. If you were to fall, maybe you're putting up Christmas lights on a ladder and you fractured your back and then had leg weakness, then you'd have...
Alrighty, we seem to have lost
control
here. Oh, there we are. Can you repeat that? You kind of went out there for a minute.
Oh, okay, I don't know where I went out, but unless you have loss of control of your bowel or bladder or progressive neurologic loss where your legs are getting weaker and weaker, then you don't have to have surgery. But sometimes I said if you have tumors or fractures in the spine, you would need to have surgery as well, right?
Okay. Well, let's talk about the book. Secrets to Maintain a Healthy Back. How long did it take you to pull this together?
Well, what I had done for a couple of years, I had written different articles or different chapters from my book, and I have the benefit of seeing, you know, patients every day. So I had it there, and I had them on different article sites so that I could get feedback. Over a two-year period, I got feedback on different chapters and different things so that I knew what people wanted to hear. And so I guess you say over a two-year period, I started writing on it. And then I just honed down and got it out over 6 months when I said, okay, my mother said to me, it's time to get this book out. And so I spent 6 months and pulled all that together and got it out.
Okay. The book
But I had been doing the writing over a two-year period. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The book talks about the O's of life, which contribute to back pain. What are the O's of life?
You know, I think that if you make something easy, it makes it easy for people to remember. So I kind of coined that phrase, O's of Life. And in my world as a spine specialist, O's of Life talk about the primary factors that contribute to back pain. O, as we get older. There are certain conditions of the back that you get when you're older. Say, for instance, if you've ever gone to Walmart, I can tell this without an MRI. You see people leaning over the grocery cart, Sharon?
Yeah.
And when they stand straight up, they say their pain hurts. But you see them shopping, and they're leaning over the grocery cart. That grocery cart sign kind of hints to the fact that that person may have spinal stenosis, especially if they are older. So O stands for older. Spinal stenosis is more prevalent in people 50 years or older. So you go to Walmart, Kmart, or Target this afternoon, and you're going to look at them. If you think the person looks over 50 and they're leaning on that cart, older age, they probably have spinal stenosis. That's where the holes where the nerves come out have gotten narrow, and it's pinching mm-hmm. them. And so when a person stands straight up, they get pain that goes down their buttocks and down their legs. And so the person tends to lean over the grocery cart, lean over the sink. And when they lean forward, the pain goes away. When they stand straight up, the pain goes down their buttocks or legs. So older age. O, osteoarthritis can contribute to back pain. You can get osteoarthritis that can lead to stenosis because the holes get narrow from arthritis as we get older. There are small joints in the back called facets that allow us, say, for instance, you put a glass of milk in your refrigerator. You lean forward and do it. But when you come back in a twisted motion, your back hurts, not your buttocks, but your back hurts. It could be because the small bones in your back called the facets, F-A-C-E-T-S, have arthritis, and they are irritated, and that's causing pain. So osteoarthritis can lead to back pain. The next O is osteoporosis. And you know we all should be taking our calcium, 1,200 to 1,500 milligrams of calcium a day, and our vitamin D. We should be doing that. People think that osteoporosis is just a disease for women, but men can have osteoporosis as well. People think that mm-hmm. it's only in Caucasian women, but African-American women can have osteoporosis as well. So we all need that calcium and vitamin D supplementation, doing weight-bearing exercises, walking, running, resistant exercises are good to help us prevent osteoporosis because as we get older, if those bones are more fragile, what do? We fall, get a hip fracture, wrist fracture, and we maybe could have prevented that by the appropriate supplementation. Now, that some people have disease processes that cause it, but in a general sense. So O is osteoporosis. The other O is the one we don't like to talk about when we're overweight, obese, and I've just told you about how that can contribute to back pain. The other O mm-hmm. is overuse, just repetitive bending and twisting. How often do I see my neighbors when they're in their yards when spring comes? They've been sitting in the house all winter, and they just run to the yard and start pruning and mulching and taking care of the yard. And when I walk outside, I have a back clinic in the front yard. Every last one of them are hurting. And that's because they ran out there like 25-year-olds, and I've been living in this neighborhood about 20 years, so they're not 25-year-olds. They run out there and start pruning and doing everything, and then they walk it in like old ladies and old men, overuse, just doing that repetitive bending and twisting and not taking a break. And also they needed to have warmed up when they started that, so overuse. And then there are occupational risks. The occupational risk of the white-collar worker is prolonged sitting. I used to wonder, why would I see my bookkeeper and accountant patients so much in May? It's because they had been sitting at their desk doing all those taxes in April, you know, making the deadlines, mm-hmm. getting Ms. Jones' taxes done, getting Ms. Scott's taxes done, getting this for Mr. Smith. And then they would just sit and had to meet those deadlines, and they would come every year with their back pain. And so occupational risk, prolonged sitting, and then people who work in labor jobs doing heavy lifting and repetitive twisting and bending. So those are the O's of life. Just think of anything that starts with an O, older age, osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, overweight, obesity, overuse, and occupational mm-hmm. risk, All of these things can contribute to back pain.
Well, that's a good way to remember them, the O's of life. I like that. That's cool.
The O's of life. Okay. And, you know, if we stay around here long enough, we're going to get some of those O's. The older age, we're going to get that. But we want to have that. We don't want to leave out of here early.
Hold on, after we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Hello, caller from 757. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I was calling, enjoying the program, and I was calling to see what advice you have for people who know somebody who should see a doctor, but they don't want to see a doctor.
And that's probably a male that you know that won't come see the doctor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've been around over 20 years, and how often do my female patients say, Dr. Brack, what can I do to get my husband in?
Oh, absolutely. You are psychic. So how do we go about aiding a person to go on their own free will to see a doctor when they need to would have back pain and they are just getting worse over time?
Dr. Bragg, you still on the line? Dr. Bragg? Oh, my gosh, she has cut. I think she has cut us off some kind of way. She's still on the line, but I don't, she's not picking up. Dr. Bragg, are you still there? Well, she dropped. Okay. Call us, stay on the line with me. I'll get her right back.
All right, thank you.
Okay, stay on the line. All right, listen to the audience. Just hang with us. We're trying to get our guest back. Dr. Bragg seems to have cut us off there, so we're trying to get her back on the line. So just bear with us. Well, we hope that you are enjoying the conversation today, and that you will call in and ask some questions if we can get our guest back on the air. Let's see. Okay. All right, we're having some technical difficulties with this this episode. I am so sorry. We haven't been able to get Dr. Brad back on the line. We may have to invite her again for another episode to talk about back pain. Caller, with your question, the only thing I can suggest you do, I'm not a professional physician or anything, but is to just try to convince the person that you love them, that you care about them, and they should care about themselves enough to go and see a doctor to try to help with whatever problems they have. It's really important that we keep up our health, especially as we get older. You know, we need to do certain things to make sure that we stay healthy.
Oh, yes, and thank you so much for the advice.
All right, I hope that was of some help. I'm sorry we lost our guest, but stay with us, and we will do another show later on, and thank you for calling.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, guys, since Dr. Bragg is not calling back, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. I hope you got something out of it. We want to thank you all for taking the time to join us today, especially thank our caller who just called in a little while ago. Spartan Life Radio airs on Thursdays at 1 p.m. For a complete list of show topics, you can visit blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. Get social with NSU. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Visit nsu.edu for more information on the university's academic programs and disciplines, special events, and other happenings. Listen to this broadcast or others on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. Let's see if this is Dr. Bragg coming back here. Okay, let's see. Dr. Bragg, is that you?
Hey, yes, I'm trying to call, but they're not letting me back.
Yeah, that's because I had tried to call you, and I tried to call you from the studio. The guest, I let her go, and just told her to try to show her, to show the person she was trying to get to the doctor some love and concern. That's the best I could do. But if you can go ahead and answer her question, maybe she's still listening. If you go ahead and address her question, that would be great.
I'm not able to get you on my landline. I'm only able to get you on the cell phone.
I don't know why. Yeah, this is fine. I see you here. I see you in the studio
okay,
now.
Okay, you hear me. So what I was telling
yes,
her,
ma'am.
She may have to use a little scare technique and, you know, let them know that if you haven't had your prostate checked or whatever, that prostate cancer spreads to bone. And we hate to know that they're sitting at home and they have something that could be relieved or diagnosed properly and they're sitting at home till it's too late. So I was telling her that
mm-hmm.
sometimes you have to use a little scare technique with some people to let them know that you cannot ignore pains that you have.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Greg, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode of Spartan Life Radio again. You got any thoughts, last-minute thoughts you want to share with the audience before we close the broadcast?
Well, what I want to share with the audience is that they can go to my website and knockoutpain.com and sign up for monthly tips, and I give tips out because I want to empower them, educate people, because you make better choices when you are educated about what are some of the strategies you can use for back pain. That when we didn't talk about it, but people can have ruptured discs, and that pinches a nerve that goes down the leg or whatever, and people automatically think, well, I need to have it ruptured. This sounds bad. But there are a lot of non-surgical things that can be done to treat ruptured discs. Epidural
mm-hmm.
injection. Sometimes you can have physical therapy alone and not have to have surgery for a ruptured disc. So just because it sounds bad, it doesn't mean that you have to have surgery for it, because people do as well with non-surgical techniques. 90% of them can resolve from having a ruptured disc without having surgery. And they need to think of a ruptured disc as nothing like think about a big sponge on your sink full of water. That
mm-hmm.
would be a ruptured disc when it's swollen and inflamed. If you sit that disc on your sink for the next 2 weeks, what's going to happen? It's going to dry up. And that's what happens
mm-hmm.
to a ruptured disc in time. It dries up. But what makes people go to the doctor is because of the pain. And so if we can give you something to control the pain, the disc will usually dry up on its own. So I don't want people to be afraid and think that they have to have surgery because they're told they have a ruptured disc.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Bray, also tell people where they can buy the book.
They can get the book from Amazon. You can go to Amazon.com and put in Winifred Bragg, and the book comes in both a Kindle version that you can carry with you. So if you're traveling and you want to say, what exercises can I do at work? I'm cooking a turkey today and my back is hurting. What can I do? I have a chapter in the book that tells about 12 common things that cause back pain, how you lift your children, your babies, your grandchildren, and it tells you the proper way to do that. It also will tell you how you can wash dishes when your back's hurting, when you're washing dishes, how to work in your yard, how to shovel, how to sit at your computer, and it tells an array of different things. And so you can get the book at Amazon.com, or you can go to knockoutpain.com to my book page, and it'll take you right there to Amazon and how to order the book.
Well, this has been a very informative conversation today. I thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Spartan Life Radio. And we look forward to talking to you again. We have to do this again so we won't have hopefully no technical difficulties and we can continue our broadcast. But thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, remember Spartan Life Radio airs on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Get social with us at NSU. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. For more information about Norfolk State University, its academic programs, special events, and so forth, you can visit us at nsu.edu. Listen to this broadcast to others on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Spartan Life. I'm Sharon Hoggart, your host. Until next time.